Well, hey, and welcome to the Gawler Uniting Church podcast. I'm Josh Shearer, the lead pastor for our church. I hope this message encourages you and builds your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If we can help you in any way, please reach out at hello@gawleruniting.org.au. Enjoy the message. The Bible reading for today comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Jesus says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners as to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
G'day everyone, my name's Craig Loveday. I've been a part of what God's been doing at Gawler Uniting for a little while, and it's a real privilege and a blessing for me to be able to preach today. Josh has asked me to preach a part of this series on the five things that God uses to grow your faith, so it's a great blessing for me to be here today. So let me start with this question for you. Has anybody heard of a guy called George Muller? And I hope you have. He is a guy who lived in the 1800s in a town called Bristol in England. And we've got a short YouTube clip we'd love to show you just to introduce you and give you a bit of a summary of what his life was all about. So let's go to that now.
We are going to be looking at the life of George Muller. He was born in Germany over 200 years ago in 1805. At just the age of 10, George became a thief. He would steal money and he would lie to people. He would spend his money on alcohol and on betting. Even when his mum was dying in bed, George was out partying with his friends, drinking and gambling. We would look at George's life and think that there is no hope for him, that he's messed up. But God had a bigger plan. God had a better plan for him. George's dad paid for him to go to Bible school. And one day he was in Bible study and all of a sudden it clicked. He realized that God was a God who cares. God was a God who loves. It completely transformed his life. He went to England and met a lady called Mary, who he then married. In England at this time, there were lots of children who were living on the streets. They would steal bread and steal money to survive. They would sleep out in the cold and no one cared for them. People would avoid them like rats. He decided that he was going to start an orphanage for children who didn't have any parents. He said it didn't matter what the backstory was, everyone was going to be accepted. He also made a decision that he wasn't going to ask anybody for money. He was trusting in God. He said that if it was God's work, then God would provide. Immediately, people started donating things, knives and forks. plates, cloth and furniture. In just 1 year, George had started 3 children's homes and was looking after 90 children. He had to constantly trust in God to provide food to feed them, to provide clothes to keep them warm, and to provide people to look after them and to train them so that when they grew up, they would be able to get jobs. Soon, George had 4 houses, and he felt God saying that he needed to build a bigger house so that he could look after more children. The only problem was that it cost a lot of money. It would have cost about £800,000 in today's money. And George continued not to ask anyone to help with the finances. But amazingly, God provided in just 1 week a tenth of what was needed. Soon he had the money and he was able to build the building. It could look after 300 children at one time. Over the next 21 years, George went on to build another 4 homes that could look after 2,000 children in total. Unfortunately, George's wife died, but this didn't hold him back. He married another lady called Susanna and went around the world teaching and preaching about God who cares for us and cares even for those people that no one else looks after. In his lifetime, George looked after 10,000 children. God provided £120 million in our money today. This kid, who was a thief, a liar, and a gambler at the beginning of his life, who no one thought would make anything of his life, God had a bigger plan, a better plan.
So I wanted to start with that snapshot of George Muller's life, because the actual foundation of his life was the private spiritual discipline of prayer and Bible reading. There's a great quote that we've got stuck up around our house, and it says this. This is from George. He says, "The first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord." Now, I'm not sure about you, but it was a new idea for me that the discipline of prayer and Bible reading was actually about getting your heart happy in God. And so the key thing I want us to remember from today is this: changing your habits won't make you happy, but changing your heart will. So if there's one thing you take away from today, may that be the thing you take, is changing your habits won't make you happy, but changing your heart will. So I'd like to lead us in prayer. Our gracious, loving Father, we praise you and bless you today. You're a great God. Your loving kindness never fails. We ask today, Lord, that you would teach us your ways, that we would learn to rely on your faithfulness, just like George did. Lord, give us undivided hearts, that we would fear your name. And speak now, Lord, deeply to us, to our hearts, that your Holy Spirit would be transforming our hearts by your grace, renewing us and strengthening us for your good purposes. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome. And today we're continuing the 5 Things God Uses to Grow Our Faith series. And we're exploring the third dynamic, which is that God uses private spiritual disciplines to grow our faith in him. And as I've done some research into this particular series, the thing that I've learned is the goal of this series is for us to trust God more deeply. The goal isn't to know more, that we would stuff more stuff into our brains, and it's actually not to do more, that our bodies would do more stuff, but it's actually to trust our Heavenly Father more deeply so that our hearts would rest in his love. And you would have heard already 2 of the dynamics that God uses, 2 of the things he uses. First of all, there's practical teaching you heard a couple of weeks ago. Then there's providential relationships. Today our focus is on private spiritual disciplines, which really are all about aligning our hearts to God's heart. Then next week we'll be learning about personal ministry, and also finally finishing off with pivotal circumstances. And my prayer is that for each of us, We would exercise our private spiritual disciplines of giving and of prayer and Bible reading so that our hearts would be in tune with God's heart. And then our lives, because of that, would be characterized by joy. So as we begin, let me ask this question. What springs to your mind when you hear the word discipline? Do you think of being at the gym and your body being forced to do physical training? Or maybe in the army, that's what discipline is all about. Or does it prompt in your mind about a parent or a teacher telling you off? Or is discipline about trying to do something hard that you don't enjoy? Or maybe is discipline for you about the self-control to stay away from nice stuff that you actually really want to enjoy? I've got a definition I'd like to share with you. I reckon discipline is the intentional rhythms of life that people do to achieve a goal. So my nephew Jude, he's just started to learn to play the keyboard and he wants to learn to play songs. So he deliberately sets aside time every single day to be practicing. Me, I'm into running and I'm on a 10K running program at the moment, and my goal is to do 10Ks in about 44 minutes. So four times a week, I deliberately get hot and sweaty, uncomfortable, and I have this intentional desire to do those things to reach a goal. We've heard about George Muller. He was a great man of faith who loved Jesus, his Savior, and he worked tirelessly to care for orphans. And interestingly, what was his goal each day? It was to have his soul happy in the Lord. And so he would intentionally set aside every single day some time for private prayer and deep meditation on God's word. So I want to suggest that discipline's not about being told off. Discipline's not about staying away from good stuff you enjoy, but discipline's about an intentional rhythm of life that you might do to achieve a goal. That's what discipline's about. So what are your disciplines in life? Are you a disciplined TV watcher? Are you a gym junkie? Are you disciplined about watching the Power win every single week? I'm a Power fan, so that's an obvious joke about that one. Or maybe your goal in life is actually to avoid this D word. Maybe discipline is something you want to try and stay away from. So the three things I want us to see today is, first of all, the dangers of discipline. Secondly, Jesus' focus with discipline. And thirdly, the power for us to live spiritual, private spiritual disciplines. Where does that power come from? So first of all, Jesus actually makes it really clear there are dangers with discipline. So in Matthew chapter 6, he says this. Please have your Bibles open as we go. Make sure I'm reading the words correctly. He says, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before others, to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honoured by others. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full." Later on, Jesus says, "And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full." Jesus warns us really clearly in these two verses. Be aware of discipline being a part of being a hypocrite. He says, "Watch out that you don't pretend to be godly so that other people are impressed by you." See, the goal of discipline that he's describing here is actually to be seen by others and praised by others. Jesus says, stay away from it. So when you're giving to the needy, when you're praying for things, there can be a dangerous way of us actually trying to win people's approval. So Jesus says, when you perform religion publicly and your goal is to win people's approval and their praise, then that's all you'll get is their praise. God doesn't care when all you're doing is performing for people. That's just religion. So it's actually a dangerous trap for people to perform religion. And all they're doing is trying to win approval from others. And I think that actually flows out of a heart of pride. So one of the dangers of discipline is actually pride. Look how good I am. Look how generous I am. Look how well I pray. Did you hear how well I nailed that prayer, man? I rock at praying. Be aware of pride in your spiritual disciplines. Now, there's another danger in discipline as well. It's not mentioned here in the text, but it is that some of us want to stay away from it and avoid discipline altogether. I think for some of us, it's not an issue of pride, it's actually an issue of fear with the whole idea of discipline. Perhaps we actually fear failure. So when it comes to this idea of discipline, setting goals and then deliberately working towards reaching them, you might be thinking, well, I've actually tried that plenty of times and it's never really worked for me. I've tried keeping a budget, I've tried eating healthy food, I've tried getting the right amount of sleep, and it never works for me. So when it comes to Jesus, and every time I know that I don't give like I ought to, or every time I know I don't pray like I should, there's this sad feeling inside me, and it's a feeling of failure. It's a feeling that, yeah, I'm afraid because I know that I fail. Doesn't matter how hard I try, secretly in my heart, I know that I'm going to fail. So I reckon fear and pride are two real dangers when it comes to this idea of discipline. And so it's important that we hear well what Jesus is saying today. We want to hear, the second point is, Jesus' focus with discipline. What does he draw our attention to when he talks about these two important spiritual disciplines? This is what he says in verse 3. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And he says in verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So Jesus actually got a particular focus with when he talks about these disciplines. And I wanted to say first up, Jesus is actually saying really clearly we need to be disciplined in our giving. And we need to be disciplined in our praying. This isn't Craig's idea. This is not my suggestion. This is Jesus' teaching here. Jesus knows that the great way to grow our faith is by these two things. There's a third one he mentions later on called fasting. We won't go into that today. But he says, if you give, it's going to grow your faith. As you pray, it grows your faith. So Jesus is actually teaching us here to grow your faith, deliberately set aside part of your budget and give it away. Now, a 10% tithe is what many Christians work on. And I actually really encourage you to pray about that and take it seriously. If you want to learn more, then a guy called Tim Keller has preached a great series on radical generosity. And he just transforms the whole idea of generosity in a really powerful way. So check that out if you're not sure about this giving idea. But Jesus teaches us to give and he teaches us to pray. He says, every day, go in your room and close the door and make it an intentional rhythm, so make it a discipline of your life to spend time in prayer. And I want you to notice this particularly. This is what his focus is on in discipline. He deliberately refers to God our Father. So he says, when you give secretly, then your Father will see it. When you pray, pray to your Father and your Father who sees what is done in secret. He's making it really important here. He's putting giving and prayer in the context of relationship with God as Father. Living in relationship with him. Jesus says, these disciplines are all about living each day trusting in God, in that living dynamic relationship with God. See, I want you to remember the goal of this series is to trust God more deeply. It isn't to do more or know more. And Jesus deliberately wants to say, God is your Father, your perfect, loving, faithful, unfailing Father. Now, I don't know what your experience of fatherhood's been like. I've come from a broken family where Dad wasn't around for about 20 years of my life. But Jesus is saying your Father in heaven. Let's be clear on this. It's the Father who draws you to himself through his love. This is what he's talking about, God your Father, the Father in heaven, the perfect, loving, faithful, unfailing Father. Your Father sees your spiritual disciplines, is what Jesus is teaching us. So he says, make it private, because God sees it. He sees what you do, and he sees why you do it. See, God sees what we do in secret, and he sees the deep motivations of our hearts. Before our Father, our hearts are open. No secrets are hidden, and all desires are known. It doesn't actually matter what other people see you doing with giving. It doesn't matter what other people hear you praying with prayer. It's not their praise you're after. What truly matters is that your Father sees you right down to the core. Your Heavenly Father sees you. He sees you give, and he sees you pray. And Jesus says, do it. It's good for your faith. It grows your faith. Jesus talks about getting a reward. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. He says it twice. He's not actually clear about what that reward is, but maybe the reward is actually that your heart in giving and in prayer is aligned with God's heart. You see, because what does God do? God gives to the needy. That's his heart. And what a great reward that our hearts will be aligned to his heart. What does God do is he draws us into relationship with himself. He graciously takes away anything that would hinder us having intimacy with him. So maybe that's the reward. So we've heard about the dangers of discipline, and we've heard about Jesus' focus with discipline. But I want to finish off with this important thing about where is the power for us to have these private spiritual disciplines of prayer and giving? I want to be really clear that my message today to you isn't trust in Jesus and try harder. That's not what spiritual discipline is actually about as far as the Bible is concerned. I don't want you to walk away saying, yeah, great, that's really good, Craig. Now I know all I need to do is knock myself into shape, work really hard to learn some new habits, forgiving and prayer, and then I'll grow in my faith. Like I said at the start, what I want you to remember today is changing your habits will not make you happy, but changing your heart will. So where does the power come from for us to live these spiritual disciplines? Well, we need to hear today, it's God's grace changes our hearts. And when this happens, we receive new power to live out Jesus' teaching here. The power to live a disciplined life comes when God's grace changes our hearts. When we experience his unfailing and reckless love for us. And so the way that God does this change in our hearts, do you know how he does it? Is that it's that Jesus gives in secret. And it's that Jesus prays in secret. See, let's listen to verse 4. It says that Jesus is saying, let's just tweak a little bit. Jesus says that my giving may be done in secret. Then my Father who is in heaven will reward you. Slight change in the text. This is the point I'm trying to make. Jesus knows that I'm needy. He knows that Craig is a needy person. And he knows that my deepest need is to experience the wealth of his love. So although Jesus was crucified publicly, was anybody there at his crucifixion actually seeing the gift he was giving? I want to suggest he's giving actually a secret gift there. Did anybody see that secret gift he was giving? Yes, his Father saw that secret gift. Jesus doesn't give money for my need. He's much more generous than that. Jesus spends everything he has. All of his wealth is surrendered there on the cross to fill my deepest need. Jesus gives for my need, and it costs him his life. Now, isn't that astounding? The generous giving of our Saviour. Jesus, the one who is so rich, gives until he becomes poor so that me, the poor one, can receive until I become rich. Jesus gives in secret when he dies on the cross. And the miracle of God's grace is that he rewards me for that. Grace is all about Jesus giving in secret. And we get the reward. Not only does Jesus give in secret, but he prays in secret. When you pray, when I pray, I go into the garden and pray to my Father, who's unseen. See, Jesus knows that my ultimate joy in life will come from being in this unbreakable relationship with God. And so Jesus prays in secret. He goes to this garden the night he's arrested. He's weeping in tears and sweating blood. And he prays, Father, not my will, but yours be done. It's late at night. His disciples have fallen asleep. So does anyone hear his secret prayer? Yes, his Father sees his secret prayer. I find this so astounding. And in that prayer, Jesus, the one who has always lived in perfect, intimate, trusting dependence of his Father, commits himself to the horror of a broken relationship that he's never had to experience. Jesus' perfect relationship with his Father is broken, so that me, the one who has a broken relationship with God, might receive an intimate, indestructible reconnection with the Father who loves me. So Jesus prays in secret, and God, who sees him, rewards me. That's the heart of grace. And Jesus says this prayer because he loves us. He loves me, and he loves you. And this is where the power to pray every day comes from. This is where that deep heart longing begins to grow in us, to connect every day in secret prayer with our Heavenly Father is born. It's where it all starts, is Jesus' love for us. So I wanted to share that the power for spiritual discipline in giving and in prayer happens as God opens our eyes to see that Jesus' death on the cross is all about him giving to our deepest need and him reconnecting us in relationship with God. And by his grace, Jesus realigns our hearts with God's own heart. By his grace, God changes our heart. So remember what I said before, the key thing? Changing your habits won't make you happy. Don't go home. Sorry, I'm at church, but don't think now that all you have to do is work hard on your habits. Changing your habits won't make you happy, but changing your heart will. And God has done that for us in Christ. So let me just finish with these questions. Brothers and sisters, have you experienced God's life-changing grace? And do you know that your faith will grow as you give and as you pray as private spiritual discipline? Have you heard that the only way to joyfully live a disciplined life is by the power of a grace-changed heart? So let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we worship you and praise you for your Son Jesus, our Saviour. The one who prays in secret, Father, not my will, but yours be done. The one who gives in secret as he dies on the cross. Oh, Father, may your Holy Spirit come to our hearts, renew and transform deeply, that we would rise each day and just long to pray to you, that we'd be stirred to plan and give generously, because that's what Jesus calls us to do. And teach us each day and grow us each day in the knowledge that we do this because you first loved us and lavished your love upon us in Christ Jesus. And so we pray these things in his name.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the message. And if you want to connect with us further, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Gawler Uniting Church. Thanks and see you next time.